Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice 1 toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 3rd of April, Anno Domini 2005, an hour earlier than you think it is. And I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Paula Chapman.
And I'm Rob Linson.
And what was the hesitation for? Couldn't remember who you were?
I was going to say, and I'm Steve Ray.
Yeah.
Well, he was off last week. He skipped down on it.
And this is Soundbites. He's running late. I believe he's having trouble slipping his electronic ankle bracelet, but he'll be here shortly. And in the meantime, I am recording the show, but I believe I am not streaming. It kind of scares me with this old machine.
Multitasking.
Yeah, I'm already kind of pegging the processor now. I'd hate to lose all of it. And the recording is more important than the streaming. So right now, we're recording. But we are Soundbites, and our guest today, the magnificent Paula Chapman.
Oh, stop.
I'm not going to stop. You can't make me. One of the leading lights of Express Marketing. I probably pronounced that badly.
No, that's perfect.
That's perfect.
Perfect.
That's perfect. And you do brochures. Well, tell us.
We are a small business marketing company, and we do everything from concept right through to finished product. One of the things that we specialize in, Nick, are the micro business, the 1 to 7 employees.
Perfect. And so for any of the small, micro, the terms, who cares?
Small
business.
Right. So
Which makes up about 23,000 out of the 26,000 businesses in Monroe County.
Right. Well, this is what always interests me. You know, everybody wants the something 500 or, you know, whatever it all is. There's 8,000 large businesses in America and 140,000 small businesses. Small businesses, by the way, being under 5,000 employees.
Right, according to the SBA.
Right.
They actually want to change that so that you know that Kodak, in some cases, could be considered a small business.
Well,
yeah.
We'll figure.
They're under 20,000 now?
Yeah. But still, you know, if you're in competition against Kodak and you have 4 or 5 employees, guess who's going to win?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. I think I want to, for everybody who's listening to the podcast or the actual broadcast later on from the archives, I'm trying hard to make sure that it doesn't overdrive. We'll see what happens. I have a lot more control over Audacity than I do over the software I'm using to stream, so hopefully it won't overdrive. I'm playing with the adjustments a little bit. Do not adjust your set. It's just me. But go ahead.
I was just going to say how great it is to be back with you guys because I think it's been at least 3 years.
It's been way too long.
On Soundbites.
Yeah.
And it's entirely my fault. I got, for some reason, the idea that you didn't want to do this for a while you were concentrating on building your own business and stuff. And
yeah, you had a lot of other, she had a lot of other things going on, too.
Yeah, but I would never say no to being
I know that.
You guys are my favorite.
I am taking all the blame on myself. We're just delighted to have you back. And Paula knows a lot about a lot, so you've got questions.
Former Microsoft employee.
Yes.
Yeah, many, many years
back
ago.
Back in the old days. Ooh.
The fun days.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, when I worked for Microsoft, it was people would say, you were from Microsoft?
Right.
And I left when people started saying, you work from Microsoft?
Yeah.
Come full circle.
Yeah. We're delighted that Paula has joined us. She has a wealth of knowledge and all kinds of stuff. But in particular, if you have questions about marketing your business or brochures and all that kind of stuff, this is a...
Right. Well, I think even more important than that, Nick, and you and I have talked about this before, is that especially for a small business, being able to use the technology in business is very frustrating for most of us. And as technology has evolved, especially things like color technology, it becomes more and more complicated. So in order to do your business, you have to use technology, but then you're confronted with all kinds of challenges. So one of the things that I've learned over the last 8 years or so is, you know, it's you need people like you guys to help, and then always ask other people for help.
Well, exactly. The problem most people find with computers is they feel frustrated that they can't play with the innards. Because we become a computer technology, and so geeks are out front, everybody knows about them, and everybody thinks, well, there must be something lacking in me if I can't run a computer. The reality is, a computer is just a tool. Mm-hmm. Just like everything else is a tool. It's like a car. I don't know doodly about the inside of my car. If I start it up and it makes a funny noise, I take it to a garage. I don't play around with it. I let the experts do their job because they do it way better than I do it. And the same is true of your computer and of your business. You go to an expert to get the job done best. Now, yeah, you're going to pay a little bit for that, but the reality is you really need to think to yourself, you know, what's the cost-benefit ratio? What's it going to cost me to do this? What's my return on investment? What's it going to cost me to have somebody else do it? And what's the return on that investment? And so it's a real, it's just math.
Yep.
You know, and once you make that decision, then you bring your computer to a guy like Dave, or you bring your business to someone like you, and you get everything done the way it should be done. It's the way it should be, and that's why we're here, to answer people's questions. You do have to have a little bit of knowledge in order to phrase your question correctly, but the same is true of your car. If you bring in the car and say there's something wrong, fix it, they can't help you. But if you can say, when I turn the key, it makes a noise.
Bless you.
Excuse me, apparently I'm allergic to myself. If you bring it in and say, you know, my car makes a funny noise when I start it, or when I turn left it does it, that's all you need to know. That's all the expertise you need. And the same with us. If you can just tell us what happened, when it happened, what you were doing, we can do the rest.
But they got to tell it honestly.
And they got to tell the airman.
I mean, I get so many folks, oh no, all I did was turn it off and tried to turn it back on. And they forgot to say, well, in between that, I also deleted some files.
Yeah, right.
Small, minute things. You
right,
know, I mean.
Right. Like we're going to yell at them.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, they've done, you know, they've been bad and God's going to punish them now. No, we can't help you if you don't tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm. Or that it takes us that much longer to resolve it, and then it's not until, oh, well, I had to replace the file. Oh, yeah, I did delete some files. Well, if you had told me that up front, it wouldn't have taken so long.
It's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, listen, we're going to get to the phones. And we're going to start with Al from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Hi. All of a sudden, my screensaver won't run. And that doesn't concern me so much because I turned my monitor off. But on the other hand, I want to run settings. I've been running settings, and for some reason, I can't get the screensaver to run with any of the packets that I would say, and I can't figure out why.
Do you get some form of error message?
No. Everything seems to be running just fine. It's a relatively new Dell. This was several years ago. 2 gigahertz processor with Windows XP and the Service Pack 2, and it was running. And my laptop, which is hooked to the same router, is running steady just fine.
Okay. Did you just do the Service Pack update?
Oh no, it came with
Service Pack 2 on it.
No, I installed Service Pack 2 as soon as it came out on that machine.
But it was running okay once you put the Service Pack 2 on.
Yep.
When you go, if you right-click on the desktop and select Properties from the drop-down menu, and then go into Screensaver, it should give you a choice of a screensaver and an amount of time to wait.
Yes, I've set all that up. I did that experiment already.
Have you tried changing to the screensaver one that you're trying to select? You know, there's literally...
I tried several screensavers. None of them works.
Including blank?
Oh, blank. Well, blank doesn't do anything.
Right. So it blanks the screen. Does it do that?
I didn't try blank, but I don't think that will work either.
Well, see, here's the problem. There are several levels of screensaver in your system. All of the 3D ones and a couple of the others require very high-end graphics cards.
Well, I haven't changed my graphics card.
And it was working.
And it used to work.
Yes.
Okay, then, have you... Oh, here's an interesting question. What's your antivirus software, and is it up to date?
I run my antivirus software every morning automatically at 3 o'clock, and it updates automatically, and it ran this morning.
Good.
And I also run Tango, and I also... Then the register I'm modifying software. What's it called? You know, RegEdit, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Registry mechanic.
Oh, registry mechanic.
See, there seems to be wrong with the system. I run Windows, I got over a gig of memory. Photoshop, I have over a gig of memory. Everything seems to be working just fine.
Something else got hammered in there that corrupted it. We're going to have to do a little investigating. Tell you what, if we find out anything, we'll let you know.
We're going to look into this, but I haven't got...
I think I found some chat group on the web, and other people are having that problem. At one point, I thought it was the Windows Media Player, because that has an option in it, and I use that to stream an out-of-town station a lot. That has an option in it, but that option is correctly set.
Yeah, it may not have correctly unset, though. Listen, we have to take a break, but we're going to look into your question. We'll be back in just a little bit with Dave Enright, Paula Chapman, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
When Governor Pataki wanted to update Rochester on the state's budget. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Paula Chapman.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We're going to go back to the phones now. I think I've got a line on what your problem might be, Al, but I'm going to
I still want to look into
it a little more during the next break. Our next caller is Tim on a cell phone. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi there.
This morning when my parents got up, they called me up this morning, and they said their computer was just sitting there rebooting. Just a constant cycle.
Uh-huh.
So they promptly got out their XP disk and going to restore it back in again. Well, they started to install it, then they realized it didn't have the key.
Uh-huh. That should be on the side of the machine.
Well, it's not. They had it on their on the jacket of the CD.
Yeah.
With that little peel-off thing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now it's not there. Do I have any recourse from Microsoft?
You can certainly call them and tell them your tale of woe. As to whether or not they'll listen to you,
you might have a problem there.
One of the things that might have the product initially.
Yes, they did.
Okay, then it's very like
registered versus just
activated.
Activated, right.
Well, when you usually activate, there's also the opportunity to register. If they did register, their information is going to be in a database, and it's possible it can be looked up. If they only activated but did not register, then there's really no record of the fact that they indeed bought the product.
Even if they have the original disk?
Well,
they can't see it.
How are they going to prove that that is the original disk?
Yeah, they can't, you know, they can't prove it.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe they could send it in to them or something.
They're not geared up to do that.
There's so many pirated copies right now that look like the legitimate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so unfortunately, because of all of that, they kind of have to assume that if you call in without the correct information, that you're trying to get around the system somehow.
Okay. All right, well, I'll give them a call and see what they're on file then, gentlemen.
Now, have they actually tried doing this yet?
Yeah, they told me they called Robbie, and my dad, 72 years old, 77 now, excuse me, and he just said, well, he put the disk in and started installing it, and then he asked for the key, and he didn't have the key.
And he said he called Microsoft about this?
No, not yet. No. He put the disk in this morning and tried to reinstall it.
All right.
Repair it?
Well, there is a... Tell you what, email me, because there is a file that hasn't gone that you can copy off to disk and then put it back and you won't have to do the key.
So email Dave offline and he'll send that to you. That's dave@soundbites.org. We're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Paula Chapman, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Paula Chapman.
Woo!
You know, Rob Linton,
when we have a breakdown, we have a breakdown. But we're back now. It is Sound Bites. And
it's kind of funny when Joan was on the air doing the news, the reason why people might want to know why she was laughing.
Oh, Joan, stick around for God's sake.
For a second. You got to stick around. Her microphone was going...
On the floor.
Lazy Mike?
Lazy Mike. Yeah. Lazy Mike syndrome. Yeah. Poor woman. She's talking and there's no mic near her. It was pretty funny. Before we get back to the phones, and we have Roger on the line and Fred on the line and John on the line, we'll get back to you guys in just a minute. There's two things. We're going to have Dave talk about his trend of the week, but before we do that, I do want to remind everybody that at the moment I'm recording the show, so there is no streaming, and I was thinking about streaming and recording at the same time, but I have an old
that machine can handle.
I have an old and slow laptop, and we're already anywhere between 77%. It just went to 77% of the CPU, so I think we're not going to be trying to record.
Not push it?
You're not going to push it, no. No, if anybody out there would like to donate a nice 2-3 gigahertz laptop to me, personally and individually, that I will promise to use every week on the show, I'll be glad to take it. But until then, I'm going to not be able to do both things at once. So go ahead, Dave. Go
yeah, one thing is...
And we're we should acknowledge the fact that Steve Ray is here.
Thank you.
He is here, and he is setting up.
My wife didn't make it back in time, so I've got my son with me again.
Ah, wonderful.
So, yeah, he's out there playing Cartoon Network.
Perfect.
Hi, Matthew. Let's see if he... No, he's deep
in the computer, yeah. And he's not caring. Good for him.
Okay. But I'll have the recording up in a moment.
How did you get such a good-looking boy?
Shirley. Shirley's got good genes.
Okay.
We're not giving him the
credit.
The old story is where'd all the blonde hair come from.
Yeah.
Mailman.
Although, now he's listening.
Right.
Okay, one of the trends that I'm really starting to see, and it's really starting to bother me, folks, as you know, are it's getting easier and easier to set up home networks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks, as we were talking before, are also doing small businesses out of their homes. So quite often they'll put their business computer on their home network and then set up sharing.
Yeah.
And they share it to everybody. And you get maybe two or three kids. They also have games on their machines and say they're doing the online gaming or music, searching for music or whatever, trying this program and that program, and then viruses travel.
But worse is when
especially
you only
when the kids
have
download stuff.
Right. Worse is when you only have one machine that dad uses and mom use for business, and the kids use for playing games and downloading,
you know,
bad stuff.
Well, the thing that and that too. But I'm seeing more and more because it is getting so cheap and easy to do is the wireless networking and everything else. But these folks are setting it up, their business computer up on the network, and they open it up to the world instead of shutting off sharing. And, you know, locking it down, because I had one customer come in, well, the thing's infested again. Well, you got sharing back. Well, the kids wanted to use it for a few minutes. Wait a minute. If this is a business computer,
right.
One, you don't let the kids use it to, just temporarily try to download this or that, because it got viruses and spyware on it again. Because she kept claiming, we never go on the net with this. No, this one's strictly for business. Well, they let the kids play the games and they're moving.
They never
over.
Go on the net, but doesn't mean the computer, is it?
Right. Exactly. So, you know, I mean, they got to do a little bit better security while the kids are doing it.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't control your kids. You have to. Threaten them that, you know, they're going to get stuck with a repair bill if they do this again. I mean, I can only do so many things and lock it down. I mean, if you're going to do important stuff that's vital, and you're going to open it to the whole world, hello, you got to do some maintenance there, too.
It's an interesting problem in general to be a parent in the 21st century, isn't it?
It is indeed.
I get people who write or call all the time, and, you know, my kids are on the computer all the time, and is there some technical way I can stop it? Well, the technical way you stop them is called parenting. You know, but it's hard now because both parents work. you're gone. You're trying to earn a living for your kids, and they're home alone sometimes, or the computer's been put in a room that's not in public view, and it's hard. It's very hard nowadays.
Okay, but here's another issue too, and Dave, this goes along to what you're saying. What about the small business that's networked? Maybe at home, maybe, but they have employees. And their younger employees are instant messaging all day long. And now what happens is you have, maybe they're using Yahoo, and that's an open invitation for anything to come back in on their machine. How can you, realistically, as a small business, stop that? You can say policy, but...
There are some programs that you can put on it, like eBlaster or that type of stuff, and the software that you could literally see even what they're typing. But and
I thought about offering a service. There is a product called Jabber, and it is an open source instant messaging program, and it will talk to every other instant messaging program.
Really?
So I use Jabber, and I can talk to AOL users and Yahoo users and MSN users and whatever else. There are ICQ users and all of that stuff. All I have to do is load the transport into the server, my server. I can do that, and I can also tell it, you know what? You can't get files from these people. You can talk to them, but you can't get files. You can't do... HTML, or I'll scrub the HTML to clean out anything except the smiley face. So what that does is it renders it safe and harmless.
Okay.
You can still talk to them, but if they want to send you a file, they have to use a more traditional means. And that's just for your safety and theirs, oh, by the way, because you can't send anything back to them. The cool thing is you can also set it up to record every conversation, which is wonderful for things like HIPAA and Sarbanes-Oxley, where you have to be able to prove everything that you've done. And I've often thought about just starting up a service and offering that as an instant messaging service. And I don't know why I haven't. But
you know what? That would be great.
In your free time.
Several of the IM programs will let you keep logs, but we're also seeing small businesses use IM internally. We've got 3 stores now, and it's cutting down on our phone bill, calling each other's stores by IMing them.
Right.
But prior to that, we had problems with employees IMing their friends, so we've had this huge IM problem.
Now, you'd be a good candidate for a Jabber service that only works store-to-store.
Yeah, Jabber will be built into OS 10.4.
Right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, the late Steve Ray, Paula Chapman, Rob Litton, Roger... Fred and John on the phone, and all of you on Soundbites at 1180 WHAM.
Please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time. Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Paula Chapman.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Yes, now we have a full complement of people. It's very exciting.
Well, it's kind of chaotic. I mean, poor Rob had to go running around. I'm looking for timesheets to fill out.
Right.
And some idiot took the last sheet that you make the copies with.
Yeah, but how do you really feel?
I mean, that ticks me off. I come in here on one day out of the week, you go to get the book, and it's empty, and they even took the copy page.
The one that's in the sealed packet saying, do not use this, make copies first.
Yes, yes. Some lame brain idiot uses it. So you got to run around, get the copier thing, get the punch hole.
It's good to know you take these things so calmly. You need more yoga in your life, I think. Not yogurt.
That's right. Drink more coffee.
Yoga. Have some more coffee.
Okay. I will. Thank you.
We're going to go back to the phones now while Dave goes on oxygen. Our next caller is Roger from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show.
Good. Thanks.
My old computer was had a crank on the side, and it was running at me, and it finally died.
We got a crank.
Yay! Another one gone.
Party. Party. Stop and make the man talk.
I picked up a computer that was once used at a major company.
Uh-huh.
And I got it home. It's a great little unit.
And they left all their important proprietary private data files on it?
No, they didn't. But they did leave 2,000 professional on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's a great little program. I can get into most things, but I can't get into things like defrag. I can't get into file search. And I don't know how to do that.
You got to log on as the administrator.
Okay. I think, well...
To defrag, certainly.
Right.
Well, there should be a search right on the when you bring the thing up in the menu there.
It might have,
on the start button. Is there nothing there?
Oh, no. I can pull, if I pop the start button, I can, you know, get to settings and control panel. I mean, it lets me get to everything. But if I hit defrag, all it does is give me the... a screen, and now it says, you know, shows me the defrag screen, but when it won't let me do anything. It won't analyze
really,
it.
Really, with Windows 2000, you don't have to worry about defragging. With
okay.
RTFS, you know, if you're running Windows 2000 and XP, defragging is not a big issue anymore, folks.
Unless you're moving huge video files.
Yeah, and you're constantly moving stuff on and off the machine, loading programs, unloading programs.
But that's the thing, it won't let me load something like Java. I can't load Java on it.
Yeah, they should have wiped the computer and left it in what's called the new user startup mode. So the first time you turned it on, it asks you to create your own administrator name and password.
Yeah, okay. Because
if it's not doing that, then you should wipe the hard drive and reinstall Windows
and
itself.
The reason you're not able to install anything is because, again, you're in user mode, not in administrative mode.
I think I've set myself up as an administrator, but if I can, when I get into the, you know, as an administrator, I can do some things, but there are certain things that I'm finding I can't do. Like I have to load and run Firefox because I can't do certain things on IE.
It's possible that when you got this machine, whatever major kind, I don't want to even know. And I'm not even sure that what you've got is legal, because I'm not entirely certain you can just give away 2,000 Pro with
machine. It probably isn't.
I have to tell you, I think whatever you're doing is illegal. If you didn't get the original CDs...
I did not.
Then it's definitely illegal.
Right.
And you definitely are probably running a machine that was set up by that company using the company's protocols, which means that they probably locked out administrator rights, locked you away from doing certain things in order to protect their network and have security, and nobody took that off when they gave you the machine. So even though you think you're an administrator, you're still locked out of doing certain things.
Well, and you could also actually have administrative rights but not be the administrator.
Right, exactly.
The master administrator is the one who actually has the ability to go in and change those defaults.
Right. Yeah, when you're selling a computer, you have to include a transfer of ownership letter, and in many cases, we'll check Microsoft's license agreement, you have to ask the company, Microsoft in this case, for permission to transfer the license to another user.
Yep.
Which they do.
Which they usually do. It's just a pain to go through all the paperwork.
And if none of that happens, then what you have is illegal.
But you don't have a disk, but I do have a key.
No. Yeah, well, so that doesn't mean anything. You still got to have the original disk to go with it.
Right, and you've got to have this transfer of ownership letter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have those things, I got to be honest with you, you're illegal.
You're wiped.
Yeah.
At this point, if the machine will run it, your best bet is probably to just go out and buy a version of XP, load it on the machine, and start over. Now, if you've created any documents, you want to save them first. But go out and buy yourself a clean copy of XP, wipe the machine out one more
time.
Home edition. Load it all on, put your documents back on from the backup, and you're on your way. We're going to take another break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Paula Chapman, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, Fred, John, and Chris on the phones, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We appreciate their...
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enrich.
I'm Steve Ray.
Paula Chapman.
And Rob Linton. Did we wake you, Paula?
Whoa.
And we're back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Fred from Livonia, New York. Welcome, Fred. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, thank you.
I'm kind of computer illiterate, and I have XP Home, and I recently loaded Service Pack 2, came down as an automatic upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now I've got this problem. I can't log on to AOL. They're saying because of the firewall blocking it.
Yep, yep.
And I go to network connections, and it shows America Online disconnected.
Yep.
When I try to connect it, it does nothing.
Right, because the firewall is preventing it. You need to turn off the Microsoft firewall.
In the control panel, you'll see it in there as an option.
Right.
And you can click on the firewall and then just disable it there.
There should be a way, though, to allow AOL to work through the firewall.
Well, the problem is Microsoft has been hit so many times with the complaint that they're too open. So they put out this firewall, which is, by the way, a great idea, and they locked it down,
mm-hmm.
which was exactly the right thing to do. The problem is they didn't tell anybody. And so people loaded Service Pack 2, and suddenly they couldn't get on the net, and they couldn't do this, and they couldn't do that. And it's all because the firewall's locked down. But at no point did they say to you, oh, and by the way, when you load this, we're going to knock you off the net unless you go in, and here's the easy way to fix that. So they did the right thing up to a point.
Well, it's just like it'll nag you also if it doesn't find any antivirus software.
Right,
sitting there saying, this machine is
even if you have some on there, if it doesn't find it.
Right. So, Fred, your bet here is to head into the control panel and disable their firewall. Of course, you should have a firewall. So if you don't want to use theirs, our suggestion is to take a look at Zone Alarm because it's sets itself up open, and as you load every program, it says, do you want to block this or let it through? So you get to make the choice. At first, it's a pain in the neck because it asks you for everything, but then it's nice and smooth and real easy to use, and we suggest you give that a try. Our next caller, John, patiently waiting on a cell phone. John, tell me you're pulled over the side of the road.
No, I'm on hands-free.
Hands-free.
Woo-hoo. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Love the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got a question. I dance the Security Tango regularly,
and
I'm running into a problem with three programs, Bullseye Network, Internet Optimizer, and 180 Search Assistant.
Yeah, you would run into a problem with those.
They're all
I do. I go through add, remove, and try and get rid of them, and of course they keep on regenerating themselves every time I reboot or even if I don't reboot.
Have you tried booting in safe mode?
And I get with a thorough system scan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I have done that.
The other thing you often have to do, especially for really nasty ones, is to go into MS Config and find and remove them there. The trouble is they often don't name themselves nice and easy for you to find.
I did go on and I Googled that particular problem, and that's exactly what I did this morning, and it's a very long, lengthy, involved process.
Sure is.
I don't know if I got it all or not. But that's probably the only way?
Yeah, unfortunately it is. Some of these are so pervasive, they hide themselves in every tiny little area of your system. I might also suggest that if you're still using Internet Explorer and or Outlook Express, you stop.
Firefox.
Get rid of all of them. Firefox for web browsing, Thunderbird for email. Unless you're absolutely, you need to run Outlook or Outlook Express to get to Hotmail. And then my suggestion is you run it from the web browser.
I have to run Outlook for work while I log in.
Right.
Outlook Express, I could switch over to something else.
You should, and please stop getting personal mail in Outlook. Get only your work email at Outlook and get your personal mail in something like Thunderbird, which is a much safer product to use.
Right now what I'm doing, I'm using Outlook Express for personal mail and Outlook for business, but I can switch over to the Outlook Express easily enough. If I were to download Zone Alarm, would that help?
That would help a lot in terms of a lot of other things, but if you've already got this thing coming in, it's not going to stop it from running. It'll stop it from sending any data out, but it won't stop it from running. But that's probably your best bet. Do that and definitely run those other programs. That'll help. Listen, we have to take a break. But we're going to be back on the other side of the news. The incredible Joan Brandenburg is in to read the news. And we're going to be back on the other side of the news with Dave Enright and Steve Ray. The great, incredible Paula Chapman is here, too. And the Rob Linton. The amazing, incredible, yeah, great, tremendous, fairly okay in his own odd little way. Rob Linton is here. We've got Chris and Joe on the line. And, of course, all of you. And we'll all be back here on the other side of the news and some small economic dramas we call commercials on Sound Bites. Only on 1180 WHAM, you lucky people.
Click certain places. It's also getting to be very common in DVD movies. In fact, DVDEasterEggs.com lets you post the Easter eggs you find. As many of you may have known, this Friday was April 1st, and there was a lot of interesting news stories coming out of the news this week.
That was funny.
Especially
stuff
in the Apple world.
True or not.
Whether they're true or not, we'll see. As many of you may know, the Mac community is eagerly anticipating the release of OS 10.4, which is codenamed Tiger. So on Friday, April 1st, Apple announced a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract with Tiger Woods to promote Tiger. I'm thrilled with my new relationship involving with Apple, said Tiger Woods, and just as I'm always pushing myself to improve my golf game, Apple continues to push the envelope. And it's a really well-written press release. You'd almost believe it. Hopefully, we'll see what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Tiger,
well, it was just a joke. There were a lot of rumors that the OS Tiger would be released on April 1st. Apple has said first half of 2005, so every new week is another new rumor. And it's a couple of other interesting ones came out about new ways to copy songs between your two iPods with a convenient little studded rubber shield to help protect them.
Yeah, right.
And that's all we can say on the radio.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much.
They had a lot of fun in some of the different news stories and news magazines, and it was really tricky getting the fake news intermixed with the real news.
Right.
Some of the things that did happen, we mentioned a couple. Actually, we may not have mentioned it because it just happened this week. A company called DVForge issued a challenge to the virus writing community to write a virus for the Mac. And basically, what they've been saying is that the Mac is much tighter, more closed in terms of writing programs. There aren't the security holes that Windows has. Hit it harder, Rob. Get a bigger hammer.
See, this is what makes you a good technician.
$1 billion radio company, folks.
Beating any equipment.
Yeah. Beating any equipment.
As we've mentioned in the past, there are no viruses for Mac OS X because of the way it's written. So this company issued a challenge to the virus community. The next day, they withdrew their challenge, and the challenge included a cash prize.
Right.
They withdrew the cash prize for legal concerns. So what if someone did do it, and then everyone else started suing these guys?
Because you paid them to write a virus.
Right. Yeah. So now the CEO of DVForge is challenging the CEO of Symantec to produce evidence of a Mac virus, because every time the news stories report there are no Mac viruses, Symantec and McAfee and Sophos and the other antivirus companies always are quick to point out that, yes, our product will catch any Mac viruses, so please don't not buy it.
Right.
But the bigger issue is to keep your Mac clean of Windows viruses.
Right.
So if you do share files with Windows users.
To be a good net citizen.
Yep. And it was Apple's 29th birthday. On Friday, they were founded April 1st, 1976, incorporated a year later.
Yep.
They probably wondered about the joke there, and we're going to name a company after a fruit.
Right.
And
we're going to produce a really cheap computer that's incredible. Yeah, right. Thanks.
The list price of the first Apple was $666.66.
Right.
Because they could.
Because they could. Why not?
There is rumors that OS 10.4 did go golden master, which is the final step in creating a release operating system. So now it goes to duplication and packaging. Let's see, what were the other? There were a couple of really cute ones that, of course, I can't find anymore right now. They were all on Fridays. But the Tiger Woods, it would be really interesting to see if that turns out to be true.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
But you can't tell, and that's the cool part about it.
The spelling errors are the biggest tip-off in a lot of these fake news stories.
But there weren't any in the Tiger Woods one.
Well, there weren't any that we could see offhand. The byline is Siddhartha Finch wrote this news story.
Okay, there you are.
Mm-hmm. And the link, you know, when you click on a link to the byline of someone, we go to the Museum of Hoaxes, and apparently in 1985, Sports Illustrated published about this incredible rookie baseball player named Sid Finch. And they even have pictures of him. And he apparently his fingers and toes were about 3 inches long. So he could really do really good pitching. He could pitch a baseball at 168 miles an hour. He could run twice as fast as anybody else because his toes were so long. So there's this whole history of hoaxes behind a lot of these news stories that came out on Friday.
And now they're linking them to each other, which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
yeah, that is fun. All right, listen, we're going to go back to the phones now.
Maybe not.
What? I'm doing something.
What? I'm doing something? What is that?
Pardon us, we're only doing a radio
show. If it's okay with you, Rob, we'd like to go back to the phones now and talk to Chris and Henrietta. Chris, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
PG, how are you?
Pew.
Good. I could really use your help on something. I got what I think is a little problem and a big problem. That's the security tangle, and the little problem is that when I ran SpyBot, I got a couple of windows come back and say msjava.dll not found,
mm-hmm.
wdengine.dll not found.
Yep. Yep.
Reinstall.
That's normal.
Okay, and then when I did go back and restored, I guess it was Wild Tangent.
No, you don't want that.
That's a spy program.
It's a spyware program.
Well, it's a program that allows you to play games on the Internet.
Right.
But it also contains a lot of spyware.
I also understand it's associated with Instant Messenger.
It can be, for the same reason. But
yeah.
it is a huge spyware program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my question then. You know, I can run that again and get that back out of there.
Yeah.
But these other... .dll files. Do I need them?
Well, see, it's letting you know that they're not there.
Right.
Because they were part of Wild Tangent.
Okay.
So once you reboot, you won't see those again.
Right, so don't worry about
them. Yeah, ignore them because it's saying, oh, but wait a minute, you're disconnecting me.
Okay.
Because in the background, it's trying to connect to the web.
Right.
There also still may be some registry entries left for Wild Tangent. That's another one of them that is really hard to remove.
Okay.
And we've got a couple of links on our link list for specific instructions.
Okay.
All right,
so I won't. Okay, I'm good with that. That was the little one, and it remained little.
Right.
The bigger one I have is when you go further down on the security tango, it says, you know, if you're going to do any downloads from Windows, you should, you know, do a backup. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I went to run the backup wizard.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know.
It backs up great, but you can't restore.
Yeah. Microsoft's backup system is not what I think of as the premier backup product
is lacking
in America.
Let me tell you what I did, and then you can tell me what I should have did. Basically, I ran that, and then it wanted, for some reason, to back up to the 3.5-inch drive, which obviously I'm not going to do that. So I directed it to the CD drive, and it asked for the CD. I put it in, and then it kind of churned a little bit. And then next thing I know... I can't find either my DVD drive or the CD drive. Now, the CD is a CD-ROM, and it was my mistake. Obviously, I can't back up to that. I should have put it in the DVD rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering, you know, where did my drives go? I have not rebooted since it's happened.
I was about to ask if you had rebooted. Generally, what's probably happened is it is trying to run a program called a packet writer that will put your writer into a mode that will let it write and read and erase and do all kinds of things because it wants to see if it's a CDR drive, a rewriter, a CDRW drive.
Right.
The problem is it isn't, and it's kind of stuck in a middle mode.
It's caught in limbo.
The theory is if you reboot,
right,
that program won't be running again, and you'll be fine.
Okay, so I should then, like if I go in and look in my computer, if I look under the devices with removable storage, all I see is the 3.5-inch floppy drive.
Right, but that's because this thing is blocking everything while it tries to figure out what to do with your drive.
All right, so
the theory is when you reboot, either it'll be gone and everything will be fine, or the system will come up and say, whoa, you've got new stuff, a CD-ROM drive and a DVD writer. Let's install the drivers.
Okay. Okay, but nothing bad should happen.
No. It should not be a problem.
Okay.
And that's one of the premier problems with Microsoft Backup is it expects to go to drive.
Yeah.
And then even if you could get it to fill a CD-ROM or CDRW, it may not then ask for another CDRW to continue writing.
Well, right. Since he's got the DVD burner, he's better off using like Nero or that comes with the DVD to burn it and select the folders and that he wants to burn.
Right, it's less automated but safer.
Yeah, and drag it to the folder and just keep adding until the DVD's full and then burn it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Well, I need somebody to pray for me.
Okay, we got that covered.
I've got a problem. I installed that new XP Pack 2.
Yeah.
And I've got a similar problem with one of your other callers. And I'm running Roadrunner. And what happens is a page comes up, says this page cannot be displayed. And it won't allow me to go on the Internet. So the only way I've been able to go on the Internet is to run a systems restore.
Right, because that takes out Service Pack 2.
Yep.
You have the same problem one of our earlier callers had, Fred from Livonia.
Right.
That firewall has blocked you from getting to the Internet at all.
Well, what I did was I shut down all the security on it. I shut down, and my computer says that, you know, that there is no firewall. That it can't find a firewall, and I shut down the Windows.
Joe, here's one question.
There's two places in there. In the security center, you tell it to stop looking for a firewall and stop looking for an antivirus. You also have to go into the firewall control panel to actually turn off the firewall.
Right, that's what I did.
Joe, one question for you. You said you did the Service Pack 2 upgrade?
Yes.
All right, before you did this, did you make sure that all spyware... had done a full virus scan, and that you had the latest and greatest drivers for all your equipment?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that could be the other part of the problem. You should do the restore back to an old point, right?
Okay.
Do a complete dance the security tango. That's at securitytango.com. And once you've done that... Then go on to the Internet. Well, actually, before you do that, going onto the Internet now, you're going to have that same problem again.
Right.
Before you dance the security tango, go onto the Internet and look for all the drivers for
like
all
video,
your important
modem,
things.
Network.
Video, modem, network card.
Motherboard.
Do you have a name brand computer or custom built?
No, I've got an HP.
Then go to the HP website, look up that specific model, and it will tell you what you need to update for Service Pack 2.
I actually have a question, and this is for you guys here. I have installed Service Pack 2 on three different machines at work.
And three different things happen.
I've uninstalled Service Pack 2 three times on three different machines.
Yeah.
What is the benefit for somebody upgrading to Service Pack 2?
It just theoretically. Notice the complete dead silence.
Yeah.
The theory is that it cleans up a bunch of problems.
But if you do the other security patches, you don't need...
Yeah, but well, it also theoretically patches problems with the operating system itself. I've got Security Pack 2 waiting right here in my corner, and I probably will never click that little button. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Paula Chapman, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Network dedicated to drama.
It's under arrest.
TV dramas. Where do you think they get their ideas from?
Here is a problem.
No intention to invade North Korea.
Viewing this as a homicide investigation.
We have leaders who love to create crisis.
For the war against extremists.
Timetables are the wrong thing to put out.
In a car bomb explosion.
This isn't a TV drama. This is real life.
So many countries were struck by this tsunami.
News Radio 1180, WHAM. Depend on it.
Honey, this stuff is useless. I can't get this shower clean.
Well, try some of that other stuff instead.
Good dose of this ought to do it.
What is going on in here? You didn't mix those two chemicals, did you?
I don't feel so good.
People don't always use common sense. Fortunately, there's a healthcare company that does, United Healthcare, offering health planning tools to fight rising costs, a 24-hour nurse line, and preventive healthcare solutions. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
Tuesday, Amy goes full throttle. He's the son of evil.
I'm a daredevil.
And after a long night of biking and brawling with his band of biker brothers, Robbie Knievel just wants to kick back and haul asphalt.
I'm just looking for a place to crash.
The Real Life and Limb series. Knievel's Wild Ride premieres Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, right after Dog the Bounty Hunter on A&E.
Do your feet hurt? Do your ankles, knees, hips, and back hurt too? Do what thousands of people have done. Go to the Good Feet Store. The Good Feet Store's orthotic arch supports keep you balanced so your ligaments and muscles don't have to work so hard. Your whole skeleton lines up better, and best of all, your feet won't hurt anymore. And a lot of the aches and pains that you wrote off to age, they're going to go away too. Go see them. The Good Feet Store. They're in the plaza on Highland Drive across from Marketplace Mall next to Michael's, and now open in Greece.
The Greater Rochester International Airport has a new 6-lane central security checkpoint. The new checkpoint is more conveniently located than the terminal and more efficient for passengers. Passengers will now have more time to relax and enjoy restaurants, shops, and the business center within the terminal.
That's not all. Soon, family and friends visiting the terminal will have a new public viewing area for meeting and greeting passengers that overlooks the airport's main runway. The Greater Rochester International Airport, your gateway to the world.
Wham! Brought to you by the Chase Pitkin Remodel Showroom.
Do you know everyday people who have done extraordinary things in our community? Hazleton wants to know about it. I'm Brad McAreevy, president of the Hazleton Auto Mall, and I'm proud to introduce the Hazleton Extra Mile Award, where the award is a brand new car. Each month, we're giving away a new Hazleton vehicle to someone you've nominated who has gone the extra mile. That's right, we're honoring your friends and neighbors. Each month features a different category: firefighters, school teachers, military personnel, and more. Deserving winners will receive a free vehicle from our big selection of Chevrolets, Toyotas, and Scions, Chryslers, Jeeps, and Nissans. For all the exciting details, visit Hazleton.com today. Hazleton is teaming with 13 Wham TV and 1180 WHAM to say thank you to those who have given so much to our community. Be sure to listen for our first call for nominations coming soon. The Hazleton Extra Mile Award. Only Hazleton has it.
Wham's Rush Limbaugh.
Time for the program which meets and surpasses all audience expectations on a daily basis. There's a reason for that.
Weekdays 2 till 5 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Paula Chapman.
And Rob Linton.
And before we get back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit about our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about web-based antivirus scanners, you know, where you go onto a website and it either scans you for viruses or spyware or whatever. And what we were talking about was that many of them are, in fact, just ways to get more junk onto your machine. more spyware onto your machine. So the question was, do you use a web-based antivirus scanner? 392 of you answered, making it number 39 in our all-time hit list. Thank you very much. Luckily, the overwhelming majority, 63% of you said no. 19% of you said, huh? And 18% or 71 of you need to do the security tango because you said yes. This week we're talking about RFID tags, radio frequency ID tags. These are little tags that were originally designed for inventory control purposes. You go into Walmart, everything's got an RFID tag. And so they can track, they put it on when the garment or whatever is manufactured, and they can track it through the various warehouses and trucks and everything else. And it just, you use radio signals, and you can find these things all over the world. Well, now they're starting to put them in everything. They want to put them in cars and pets and people and everything. So my question about these RFID radio tags is I'd use one on my car, my computer, my pet, my baby, myself, over my dead right to privacy, or huh? And so far, and we've got about 83 of you having three of it in the poll, 84. 80, followed by over my dead right to privacy. Now, Dave, you were talking about this with your dogs.
Yeah, I'm going to have the chip implanted, it's in 2 weeks in both my dogs. And, you know, this way, if they happen to get loose or anything else, they can just quick scan it, and it's tied to their database, that number, and it comes up with all their information on, you know, where the dogs belong and everything else. So, you know, it's good in that aspect. Matter of fact, they were talking about doing it even with kids.
Yes. The problem, of course, is one of privacy.
But, I mean, not so much for tracking, but, you know, if they had that in there and the kid, you know, was... Well, like that one child that didn't want to give up her identity. Oh, no, I meant her.
Right.
She was kidnapped.
Right.
And was threatened, you know, if you say anything.
Oh, right.
You know, if they had scanned her, you know, oh, no, you're so-and-so.
Right. Okay. On the other hand, it makes it easy to track a child and to find a child you do want to kidnap. If all you got to do is get within a certain number of feet of them, and it can be, in fact, depending on what kind of equipment you've got, it can be yards or miles.
But,
and then you can track them and find out where they are. And
the other side.
So this is actually different than an identification chip. What you're talking about is...
Well, it's more than that.
Okay.
I mean, if you're talking about, you know, the kind of chip where you can put the back of your hand up against a Coke machine and get a soda, that's one thing. But this is basically, it'll do all of that. You know, they're talking about it being basically a national identity chip.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to do anything. Now, I agree. You put it in your car. You put it in your pets. If those things get stolen, it's marginally easier to retrieve and certainly easier to prove it's yours.
One of the neat commercials I saw was a guy looking like he's shoplifting. And as he fills up his long overcoat with merchandise, he walks out the door, and a security guard chases him down, excuse me, and hands him the receipt.
Right.
The sensor in the door automatically read all the tags on the stuff and debited his credit card, and here, sir, you forgot your receipt.
Right, exactly. And well, that's the kind of thing
easier,
that
yeah?
makes it easier, but also makes it... the problem with those things is copying an RFID chip is ludicrously simple. All you have to do is have the right equipment. Right now, that equipment is very expensive. But a few years ago, if you wanted to duplicate a swipe card, it costs thousands and thousands of dollars mm-hmm. to buy the equipment. Now you can buy it for under $100.
Yep.
So in a couple of years, RFID chips are going to be as cheap to duplicate. And then what happens? Right? So it's an interesting problem. And deactivating them is not that difficult if you have the right equipment, too. So it's an interesting problem, and I'm not sure it's one that solves the other problems they're trying to solve. But anyway, that's our poll of the week. I use audio technology, radio frequency IDs on whatever, and this gives you the chance to vote on that. So far, nobody would use it on their children or on themselves. I know people who have done it, I know that people have done it. I don't know them personally. And I suppose they felt they had good reason to do so.
It takes fingerprinting and DNA storage of your children to the next step. This is probably dangerous to say, but I've found a lot of that to be overly hyped. Yeah, it's horrible when a child gets kidnapped, but
right.
the percentage is so tiny that we're just going overboard, you know, losing our privacies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it also probably gives a false sense of security. And if, in fact, you can deactivate or copy, then, you know, as a parent, you're sitting here thinking you've done everything you possibly could, and maybe you're not as vigilant.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you find out that it didn't perform.
Yeah. Right. You're right. Once you're done entering your poll choice, you'll find that at the bottom of the page, there's a little yellow box. If you click on the Leave an Opinion link, it will take you to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Thank you. I'm so used to that now. Yeah, people whistling as you walk down the street. I've gotten used to it. It's a curse. You live with it. And you can leave an opinion.
No, they're whistling at your wife.
Yeah. I'm sure they are. Certainly not at me. I don't know what I was thinking. You get to leave a slightly longer opinion rather than just people were upset that they only, you know, poll choice didn't give them the opportunity to spew. Now you can go over here and spew. Once you've done that, please feel free to look around AskNick.com. That's fine. But then head back to soundbites.org and check out all the great stuff that's going on. The forums are tremendous. We've got all kinds of stuff. Dave sets a bunch of tips up every week. There's all kinds of wonderful stuff going on, and you should check it out at soundbites.org. But right now, we're going to go back to and we're going to talk to George from Fairport, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hey, guys. After listening to you for many years, I finally got rid of my many errors system and have got a new PC.
Another victory for Dave.
Another conquest.
So I got a new PC with XP. When I went to get drivers for my HP office jet printer, It said my LPT1 had to be an extended capabilities port. So that's my question. How do I make that printer port an ECP port?
You've got to go into the BIOS, and in the BIOS there will be a setting there for your peripherals. And you can go down to that line where it says the parallel port, and you can change it to EPP, to bidirectional. You know, you'll have to toggle it, but you can change it to EPP or EPP plus EPC, you know, the different configurations.
I've never been in the BIOS. How do I get there?
Well, to get into there, what do you have, a Dell Gateway or?
It's a Soyata.
All right, hit the delete key when it's booting up.
Yep.
And you should get to the blue screen.
It's usually either delete or
F2 or F1.
F10 on compacts. Well, control escape on Dells. Every brand
uses
their own.
Down at the bottom of the screen to get into the setup, you'd have to hit a certain key. But generically, for his machine, it should be a delete key. You'll see a screen, the blue screen. And one of the items is peripherals.
Okay.
You select that, you'll go down in there, and you'll see the printer. And down again at the bottom of the screen, it'll tell you what keys to use to toggle the settings.
Okay.
So if it's bidirectional, let's say you hit the page up or page down key, or the plus or minus are popular ones.
So it'll say across the bottom of the screen what you use.
So say you hit the page up, and it'll change it to EPP or EPC. You can finally, you know, select the one you want, exit out, save it, and you're good to go.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thanks. Good luck.
Bye.
Our next caller is John from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Peachy. How are you?
Ducky.
Yeah, right. In this weather, you should be ducky.
Absolutely. Two quick questions for you. One is, I had bought a Seagate 300 gig internal drive with an external enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
I can't seem to get, every time I plug it in via FireWire to my computer, I can't seem to get the icon to come up in my computer unless I reboot on my computer. And then sometimes if I walk away from the computer and come back an hour or two later, the icon is no longer there. How can I make that more consistent?
What type of machine is it? I mean, what?
I'm sorry?
What process, what OS you're running?
XP.
And what is it, Pentium 3, 4?
4.
And how much memory?
I've got 700-some-odd gigs of memory, 800 gigs on...
No, how much memory? 128, 256?
700 megs, 700-plus.
768 would be the multiplier there.
Yeah.
Right?
Is the FireWire on the motherboard, or is it a card?
I've got two FireWire inputs, one in the back of the computer near the audio plugins, and I've got another one in the front that also has two USB.
But is it built into the motherboard or is it its own separate card?
I do not know.
It's probably on the motherboard.
Probably on the motherboard. I'm thinking the FireWire drivers for that motherboard.
Well, the
or
thing
the
that
card.
Is, sometimes though, some of them, depending on how they hooked it up, the front can be USB 2, and the ones or the ones on the back are USB 2, and the ones on the front are USB 1.
Yeah, but this is FireWire, so that won't count. But it could be that the FireWire is not polling correctly.
Yeah, it should detect when you insert a new FireWire device.
And that would have to do with the driver. My suggestion is that you either talk, if you bought this, if this machine was built locally, you need to talk to the manufacturer. If not, you need to go onto the manufacturer's website and look to see if there is a newer driver for the FireWire card, even though it's on the motherboard, a newer driver for FireWire for XP. The problem is that it sounds like your FireWire is not being polled correctly. That is to say, what happens is every X seconds, or X tenths of a second actually, the operating system goes to FireWire and says, anything new? And FireWire will say yes or no.
Okay.
And that should happen so often and so quickly that when you plug something in, it seems instantaneous.
Yeah.
In your case, that's not happening. So the polling, it sounds, or sometimes FireWire is set up to just, it doesn't have to be polled, it just talks back.
Mm-hmm.
But in either case, that's not set up correctly. So you need to look and see if there's a new driver.
You also might want to check if there's any drivers for the FireWire chassis you bought. Depending on what chipset it has in it, it may need its own driver.
Right.
Okay. All right. The other question I have is that, and by the way, with the Seagate, there's no way to power this down. So if I want to turn it off, I have to just turn the power on the back of it off. Am I hurting that?
No.
Well, sort of. What you have to do first is in Windows, go to the safely remove hardware and eject that FireWire drive. Then you can power the drive
because
off.
Because that makes sure that any data that Windows will, in order to increase performance, Windows doesn't write data out to a hard drive right away.
Okay.
It waits until you're idle and then does it so that it happens kind of in the background. So if you've got data that hasn't been written to the drive and you turn it off, that's kind of going to screw things up.
All right. I'm only using it for large video file storage. So I'll pull it over, pull it back, and then when I'm not using it for the end of the night, I'll turn it off.
Well, you definitely want to eject it first. What's your other question, quickly?
Okay, the other question is, I deleted at one point a long time ago Microsoft money from XP.
Right.
Now when I load a new program, or sometimes when I go to do something, I'll get two windows that come up saying that I can't find Microsoft money.
How did you delete it?
Went into remove programs and deleted Microsoft money.
Yeah. What it sounds like is they left something in the
register. Yeah, some remnants.
If you feel confident about going into the registry and looking for it, then you should search for money or MS money and delete those entries. If you don't feel secure about it, just ignore the message.
Lavasoft has a great utility called RegChance.
Right.
And you run that, and it'll look for. You can type in what you want to look for in the registry to search for, and it'll look for it.
Right. Go to lavasoftusa.com and look for RegHence.
Yeah, I've already got that because I'm running Adaware.
There you go.
So, but how do you know if you're deleting the right things or not?
If it says MS Money, it's the right thing.
Okay.
Then that's the trick when you're in the registry. You can very easily wreck your computer by deleting the wrong thing.
Be very, very careful. In this case, as long as you stick to anything called MS Money, you're good. Our next caller is Art from Attica, New York. Welcome, Art. What's the question?
Hi. Good afternoon there, sir.
Good afternoon.
I have a Windows XP home.
Yes.
And it's SP1.
Yes.
And I have an auto run. You know, when you put a disk in and you close it and the box comes up and asks you, what would you like to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden I don't get that anymore. I can put a disk, I get, but then I have to go up to my computer, open that up, and then go to the drive where it is. And then
go to my computer.
Yes.
Open that up.
Right.
Right-click on the CD drive.
Right.
You'll see a whole, and you'll get a drop-down menu that says Properties.
Right, I've done that.
And you set it to auto-run?
Yep.
And it still doesn't auto-run.
Yeah, I'll change it, go there and put, apply, click OK, close A, press. Back in, and it won't do it.
It could be that specific disk doesn't have an auto-run program on it.
Well, I used it like it was for my Lexmark printer. When I first got the printer, it worked. It's been over a month now. It stopped working.
Printer disks will put a setting in your computer so it doesn't auto run the next time because it knows you already put it in and ran it. You try with other disks and stuff.
Oh yeah, I've tried all kinds of program disks for different software, and I can do it by going to my computer, but. Every time I go to the drive that it is, and right-click, like you said, and go down to properties, I open it up, and I go to where it says, like, the autoplay. I go down and click that, prompt me. It used to work fine. Then all of a sudden, it just stopped. It just stopped working.
All right, listen, we got to take a break. We'll be back in just we'll talk about this when we get back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Paula Chapman, Rob Linson, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow, it's Rush Limbaugh.
So look at your average retiree who lives only on Social Security and ask yourself one question, is that how you want to retire? And any sane person is going to say, hell no!
Rush Limbaugh.
So what do you do if you want to have a better retirement than what currently exists? People have been relying totally on Social Security.
You figure out a way to provide for it yourself.
Oh, easy for you to say. Well, I made this decision a long time ago.
Rush Limbaugh.
I was not going to be dependent.
Weekdays, 2 till 5.
Does it make me silly, selfish, or smart?
On News Radio 1180 WHAM.
To fulfill a dream, it takes many hands, many hearts, and one hope. For the past 20 years, Heritage Christian Services has grown to support more than 1,200 children and adults with developmental disabilities. They want to thank their many community partners for sharing in their vision to make a difference in the lives of those with special needs.
Letzman's Appliance has been in business since 1919 and has a tradition of great service for more than 85 years. They've been proud to support the community. Letzman's, known for value, remembered for service.
Thank you for your support.
It's the hip phrase of the new millennium. You gotta think out of the box. I'm thinking out of the box. At The Source, we'd like to know what's so great about that. Frankly, we think the world would be a better place if people thought inside the box, especially if it's inside a little blue box from The Source. It could be a gold chain or charm. It could be a diamond engagement ring, diamond fashion ring, or diamond earrings. It could be a mother's ring, gorgeous pendant or bracelet loaded with precious stones, or a beautiful piece of custom jewelry we made with stones taken from the jewelry you inherited from great-grandma. Whatever's inside that blue box from The Source, you know it's going to be the finest jewelry money can buy. It's going to cost a whole lot less than you'd pay anyplace else, and it's going to make someone very happy. Thinking outside the box? Well, I'm thinking it's a little overrated. Thinking inside the box is where it's at, but only at The Source. Pittsford Place Mall, Ridge Road West, and Ridge Road next to Grease Ridge Center. Open all week, including Sundays.
At The Source.
For 30 years, the folks at Cortese Auto Block, Cortese Ford Block, and Dodge have helped people in Rochester with their vehicle purchase. Choose from over 600 new and pre-owned vehicles all on sale at the Cortese Auto Block. Why would you buy a vehicle anywhere else? Come experience the quality of a Cortese Ford or Dodge this weekend and see why people have made them the number one dealer in Rochester. Cortese Ford and Cortese Dodge, West Henrietta Road, Rochester.
Sound Bites, powered by Patrick Pontiac.
I feel so good today.
You've heard about the recall of Vioxx and the questions on the safety of Celebrex. Now you can look into the natural alternatives available at Vitamin and Card Outlet. D-Flame contains a synergistic blend of herbs that can reduce minor pains from overexertion and stress. SAM-E was deemed effective enough to be studied in comparison to Celebrex. The research found that SAM-E is equivalent in almost all measures to Celebrex in relieving pain and improving functions in subjects with osteoarthritis. With no side effects, D-Flame and SAM-E containing glucosamine and chondroitin would make a significant difference in your well-being, and is only $18.95 for 180 easy swallow capsules.
For healthy minds, healthy bodies, the Vitamin and Card Outlet.
Visit Vitamin and Card Outlet in Baytown Plaza on Empire Boulevard or call 671-1290 and they'll gladly ship your order to you. Vitamin and Card Outlet. They make nutrition affordable.
Sunday night, it's opening day for the New York Yankees. The Pinstripers host the Red Sox. Coverage begins at 7:30 Sunday, only on 1180 WHAM.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Ender.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Paula Chapman.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. One other thing, Art, that you need to know is that there is a way to disable auto run in the registry, and it's often done by programs like Nero and other burning software. So if you have that, it may have been disabled for you.
Yeah.
You can, if you're familiar with the registry, you can look for a key called no drive type auto run. If it's set to B5, that disables the CD-ROM auto thing. If you're not familiar with the registry, which so many of us are not,
don't go there.
It's probably your best bet to take it to a qualified and competent technical support place and let them do it for you. I'm always hesitant to tell people.
Yeah, that. I don't like to, because then you get recalled. Well, you told me to go do that, and then their whole machine is screwed
Something
up.
Something else doesn't work, yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
I found one of the other cute April Fool's announcements, Google Gulp drink mix.
Oh, right.
It has a DNA scanner embedded in the lip of the bottle that reads all 3 gigabytes of your base pair genetic data and fine-tunes the drink for your specific combination of brain chemistry.
The reason they put out this drink is because we spend so much time in front of our computers that we need extra brain chemicals and something to tone our muscles and stuff.
But it's in beta, like everything else Google does.
Everything Google does is in beta. It also has the auto drink option. There's a chip at the bottom that detects when the bottle is empty.
Yep.
And the way you get a bottle, like with Gmail, when they brought out Gmail, they said the only way you could get it is if somebody invited you, somebody who already had it. So now the way that you get Google Drink is to have somebody give you a bottle cap.
So on their frequently asked questions, it's saying, wait, you're saying auto drink changes my brain chemistry? Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that kind of dangerous? Well, none of the lab rats who've been pounding this stuff for the past 8 months have keeled over yet, so we're fairly sure.
I love the people at Google. They are having so much fun with their systems. Our next caller is Mark from Penyan, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Welcome, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Question is, I've got a Dell laptop that runs Windows XP Pro, and every single time I reboot it, it takes, well, once I choose, my administrator set me up as something called a Workstation 9, that's irrelevant, but right. Once I log onto that, it takes about 2 minutes of dead time where it looks as though nothing is happening at all.
Something very important is happening. It's looking for the network.
Most likely.
But if I'm at home, if I'm in the network, it still does it.
How much memory do you have in this thing?
I believe 256.
There you go.
Well, at work it boots up fast?
No, at work or at home it's still slow.
256 is bare minimum to run Windows XP Professional.
Yeah, but it shouldn't take 2 minutes to boot up. It sounds like it's looking for something.
It may be looking for a volume that doesn't exist anymore.
The thing is, though, if you've got any spyware on there...
Guys, can I tell you one thing?
Yeah.
If I don't log on as a Workstation 9, if I log on as somebody else...
It works fine.
It's instant.
And that's because Workstation 9 is attempting to attach to some sort of device, whether it's a drive or a printer or something that simply does not exist. You need to take it back to work and have your systems administrators remove that attachment point from the software.
And see if you can get more memory for it, too.
You may be able to find it yourself if once you log into that username, go into your startup group and go into your auto start settings and see if there's something in there about attaching to file servers or logging into some other service.
Yeah, but that's what's causing it. I know it looks like it's doing nothing, but in fact it's out on the net. We're going to take another quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enrich, Steve Ray, Paula Chapman, Rob Linton. We've got John, Gill, and Carolyn on the phone. We'll try to get to all of you on Soundbites at 1180 WHAM.
If it's happening now, you're hearing it now.
It happened just before 7 this morning.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbite.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Paula Chapman.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Our announcer did not lie to you. Our next caller is John from Ontario, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. After running Norton Antivirus, I'm getting a threat called adware.n.net that it's not removing with Norton, and neither does Adware remove it, apparently, on there. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions in terms of getting rid of this thing.
Have you run Adware and SpyBot in safe mode?
No, I have not.
That's you should do that.
One thing
yeah.
to try.
In fact, you need to start with, you need to dance the whole security tango, starting with Stinger.
Okay.
And once you do that, that should come as close as anything to cleaning up your system.
One of the problems is that a lot of these adware and spyware programs are running resident, so the programs can't remove it while it's running. So
there's also the fact that at least one of the older versions of Norton erroneously tagged adware
yeah.
itself as a virus.
Yeah, I think this is 2005 Norton. And
it should be fine then.
Yeah.
Is it up to date?
Yep.
Then you're set there. I just run a rescan in safe mode, and first make sure you have the updates for SpyBot and Adware. Run, boot up in safe mode, run a full virus scan, then do SpyBot, and then do Adware.
All right, we'll do that. Thanks.
In fact, don't do the whole security tango in safe mode and see what happens. See. Our next caller is Gil from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I have been running Windows for a long time and finally tried Linux, and I spied the Mac Mini a couple of weeks ago, and
uh-huh.
I saw that you know, it's something really small, and to be honest, I have absolutely no experience with Mac. So my question really is, how can you run Macs on a PC network? How compatible are they? Can I share files? Can I download or create files between the machines and so forth with no problems?
Sure.
So
yep. It's completely transparent. The Windows networking is built into OS X. It can join a Windows domain as if it was a PC.
Yeah. From the other end, no one will know it's a Mac.
Okay.
It will look like a PC. It will work like a PC. Depending on what software you're running, you can completely share files without any problems.
The easiest thing to do is get Microsoft Office, but of course the easiest thing is always the most expensive thing.
Right. You can also run OpenOffice, which saves and reads Windows Office file format.
The AppleWorks program the Mini comes with will read and write Word and Excel files, but you have to translate them in and translate them out manually.
Right. Whereas OpenOffice can be set to do it automatically.
Okay. So the real reason I was thinking about moving to a Mac is for security. At least one spot in the house where you can get to the network in a secure way. So the question is, if I do share files or share disks, am I breaching that security in any major way, or what's the downside?
The downside, there are two things. First, you can't really get a Windows virus on your Mac, so you're safe from that side. But if you have shared a file or a folder on the Mac, and the Windows machine has spyware on it and can read that folder, then it can grab those files just like it can from a Windows share.
Yeah, it can put a virus on a Mac share. It can't execute once it's there.
Right. And if it's looking for stuff to search out or send out over the net, it can still do that because it's doing it through the Windows share rather than from the Mac. So,
and if it's a virus that says delete, G colon star dot star.
Right.
And you have a Mac folder as drive G, then
right.
it would
looks for all your Excel files and deletes them.
Yeah.
Yep. That'll happen. But so it's not 100% safe because you can still get grabbed by your system from the Windows side. But in terms of getting viruses yourself and making them having them make your system unstable, it's not going to happen. So I wouldn't worry about that. Well, listen, I hate to say this, but we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank Paula Chapman from Express Marketing for coming in and joining us. We will indeed have you back regularly and often. I want to thank Rob Linton for showing up this week as opposed to last week. And for Dave Enright and Steve Ray and Paula Chapman and Rob Linton, I'm Nick Francesco. Thank you very much. Please remember to vote in the poll. Please remember to check out AskNick.com. And we'll be back here next Sunday on the greatest computer show in the known universe. And you know that soundbite on 1180 WHAM.